so happy you're here listening right now. This is Eternity Church's weekly podcast. You will find our messages encouraging, inspirational, and relative to your life, no matter what stage of the journey you find yourself in. Here's Pastor Jesse.
Hallelujah! He shall reign forever! Come on, it is so good to be in the house of God with you today. Welcome home. Welcome to church. God bless you. Isn't it good to be here? Yeah? We got some people excited to worship here today. Tell you what, I was worshiping last night and this morning, and it blew me away as I'm looking around the room and seeing the different stories in people's lives and still seeing the passion as they worship the Lord in church. I saw a man who just this week buried his mum but was in church worshiping God today. I saw a woman who has MS sitting on the front row and in spite of pain worshiping the Lord today. I saw foster children at home in church. Come on. Foster mums at home in church. I see black people and white people and Hispanic people and all sorts of people from all over the place, all together in the house of God. You know, the most unifying thing on the planet is the house of God and the presence of God. Amen. No matter where you're from, this is home for you. Amen. Praise God. I love it. God is in this place. Scripture says that as we draw near to God, He draws near to us. And I tell you, I was just standing back here and I could hear not just a band worshiping, but I could hear a crowd of people pursuing God. Scripture says when we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. So what does that mean? It means God is here right now. God is in this place. This is sacred ground. And He wants to speak to you and He wants to bless you. He doesn't just want you to come here and worship Him. He wants to come and give you an experience. Scripture talks about letting His goodness pass before your eyes. Today is my prayer that you'll experience the goodness and the wonder of God in church. Do you want to receive that today? Praise God. Could you stay standing as I read today's scripture? Stay standing as we read the word, Luke chapter 1. I've read this every week for the last few weeks, and I'm going to read it to you again today. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's journey, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Let me encourage you to download last week's and the week before's podcast that will shed a tremendous light on this passage of scripture. Mary being confused, Mary freaking out and being troubled when the angel had brought her good news. I tell you, if you listen to last week's podcast and the podcast of the week before, I know it will bless you. I know it will bless you. Let's read on. "Mary, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him name Jesus. He will be great and be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign forever." Someone say forever.
Forever.
"His kingdom will never, ever end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel. "Because I'm a virgin." And the angel answered, "That's a great question, Mary. The Holy Spirit will be with you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Hey, Mary, even your cousin Elizabeth is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was barren, no, she who was said to be barren, is already in her sixth month. Not she who was barren. God never said she was barren. They said she was barren. God never said she's barren. They said she's barren. Just like they say, you can't, you won't, you'll never. I want to tell you, what they say doesn't matter. What God says is what matters. Amen. They said that she was barren. God said that all things are possible. Amen. For nothing is impossible for the Lord. Amen. For no word from God will ever fail. Mary said, I am the servant of God. May your word to me be fulfilled. Praise God. Who wants to receive a message from the Lord today? Reach out your hands in faith as I pray for you. Heavenly Father, for every person in this place, I pray that your Holy Spirit would open up their hearts and their minds to receive everything you want to do in their hearts today. May this message be a game changer, a life changer, something that empowers and equips them to live in the power and the authority that you designed for them. In the name of Jesus Christ, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God bless you. You can high five 37 people and take your seats. Maybe just stick to 15. Man, I'm excited to preach today, but I know I'm a big believer that if there's something that's distracting everybody in the room, we need to draw attention to it and, you know, just deal with it. And I know that right now there's something that's freaking people out and distracting everyone in the room, and it's my pants. And I know that, so we'll just deal with that right now. These are what I call my Vicodin pants. See, about 7 or 8 weeks ago or so, I had a surgery on my face because apparently breaking your nose 3 times growing up really messes your head up. And so I had a surgery on my face, and at the end of it, they gave me these tablets called Vicodin to take. And I'm not, you know, I grew up in a family that was full of people addicted to drugs, people addicted to alcohol. I saw my dad drunk almost every night of my life. I grew up in a family where I just saw the negative effects of addiction, and I just decided I don't want any of that in my life. So I grew up, I've never been drunk, I've never been high, I've never done any of that. And so when the doctor gave me Vicodin, this virgin body freaked out. My wife, she had to take my phone off me at one point because I'm like messaging famous pastors around the country, you know. I'm having a text message conversation with Banning and she's like, dude, give me your phone now, right? So I was high as a kite. And something else that happened to me was about, by the way, I hated it so much, like after 3 days, I just tipped them all down the toilet. I'm like, I don't want to do this. I was like, my wife was recording me saying the craziest things, right? Like, instead of being a supportive wife and, like, hugging me and kissing me and getting me food and drink and stuff when I'm sick and stuck in bed, no, she's making videos of me being ridiculous and sending them to people, saying, look at this idiot, ha, ha, ha. And you will never see any of those videos ever. Ever, right? I will steal her phone and delete them. Another funny thing that happened, though, was about 3 days after I stopped taking Vicodin, some packages started arriving in the mail of things I have no recollection of ever ordering, and these pants are one of those things. Lauren said, well, they're disgusting, and I'm like, you're jolly well right they are. but they fit, so evidently I did know my size when I was high, and... So anyway, and we wanted to send them back, and Lauren's like, you should preach in them. And I'm like, challenge accepted. So welcome to church. All right? And come on.
You look hot.
I may never wear them again, but I did pass the year. I thought, what better opportunity than Christmas, you know? It's Christmas weekend. Merry Christmas. Your gift from me is these pants. All right? So God bless you. I'll pause for photos if you're ready, you know. We should probably preach the word, though. It'll be better than these pants, amen. Mm-hmm. That's actually why I wore them. I'm like, you know what? I'm not feeling confident this week. If I wear a terrible pair of pants, people's expectation will be so low, they'll be surprised. So, no, I'm just kidding. I'm feeling great about the word. You ready for it?
Yeah.
Awesome. See, we just read a story about what God conceived in Mary, and today I want to talk to you about what God has conceived in you. I believe it's as if the angel of the Lord has come to each and every one of us and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. See, each and every one of you is special. Come on, touch your neighbor, say, you're special. Come on, touch your other neighbor, say, I'm special too. Come on, each and every one of you is special. Each and every one of you has a special purpose and a special ability, something unique that God has placed inside every one of you. Other people may have said that you're barren. Other people may have said that you can't. Other people may have said that you'll never amount to anything, that nothing good can come from a person who has done what you've done. But God has said you are special, you are highly favored, you are uniquely called, and He has conceived something special inside every single one of you. Amen. In some of you, He conceived a seed. He put a seed of music in you, and your whole life is being lived in pursuit of using that seed of music to glorify and to worship the Lord. Come on. Some of you, He placed a seed of generosity in you. Now, we know that every one of us as a believer is called to tithe and is called to give, but Scripture talks about the spiritual gift of generosity. And some of you are called to go over the top and extra and above the call and be extra generous. In fact, as a church together, all together, we are called as a church not to be generous like a church should be, but to be extra generous, over the top generous to the community, to the world, to the people around us. We're an extra generous kind of church. And for some of you, you have an extra generous seed planted in your spirit, amen. To some other ones of you, God planted a seed of prophecy in you. To others still, God planted a seed of wisdom in you, and on and on it goes. This list is not exhaustive. This list is just inclusive. There are other things that God has done in you, that God has placed in each and every one of you. You are unique and wonderfully qualified and gifted by God. Amen. Every one of you, praise God. But still, there is another thing that God has placed inside each and every one of us. Another thing that is not unique to you that she doesn't have, but that both of them have. There's something that God has conceived in every single one of us. Something of infinite worth, something of infinite value to God that He has trusted us with. He's conceived something wonderful in your spirit. There is a game changer in your spirit. Something so powerful that demons flee in Jesus' name. Something so wonderful that when other people who don't have it get around you. See, when you tap into this thing that God has conceived in your spirit, when other people who haven't tapped into it, when other people who haven't received it, when those people get around you, they can sense that there's something phenomenal, something wonderful about you, and they don't want to live another day until they experience what you've experienced. There's something wonderful that God has placed in your spirit. Do you want to know what I know? Some of you want to know. Do you want to know what I know? Do you want to know what God has conceived in each and every one of you, church? Do you want to know? See, here at Eternity Church, we didn't come to church today. I hope you didn't come to church today to experience or just to watch some Aussie guy with weird pants preach a sermon. I hope you come to church to participate in and receive something from God. So, church, again, I ask you, do you want to know what God has conceived in your spirit today? I'll give you a little clue. The thing that God has placed in your spirit, the thing that God has conceived in you, the thing that's so wonderful that if you tap into it, it will change everything about your life, is the same thing, the exact same thing that He put in Mary. He put a little bit of God in you. There's a little bit of God in your spirit. The angel looks at each and every one of us and says, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And everywhere you walk, and everywhere you drive, and everywhere you go with God in your spirit. Hey, everywhere you go, you're not just taking the weather anymore. Come on. Everywhere you go, you take God Himself with you. He gives you power. He gives you authority. He gives you strength. And every time that you read the Christmas story of Mary meeting with the angel of the Lord in Luke chapter 1, you need to remember that this story has happened to me. God has said to each and every one of you, greetings, you who are highly favored, I am with you. I will never leave you. I will never forget you. I will never unfriend you. Everywhere you go, I go. Every mountain that you climb, I climb. Every hardship that you face, I face. Because I am with you and you are highly favored. Church, that is what God has put in your spirit. He has put a bit of God himself in your spirit. And I'm excited today to talk to you about the implications of the fact that Jesus Christ reigns in your heart. That you have God in you. See, it's more than just gifts. It's more than just calling. It's more than just unique talents that God has placed in you so that you can better serve the kingdom of God. There is a spiritual authority inside you. Let's take a dive for a moment. We're going to take a dive, all right? I'm going to unload in like 2.5 minutes some kingdom theology on you. Are you ready for that? Yeah. Right, we're going to unload 2.5 minutes of kingdom theology on you. You ready for that? Yeah. Tyler's ready for that. Anyone else ready for that? Yeah. Luke chapter 17, 21 to 22. Once, I picture this. This is how I picture this story unfolding. There's some Pharisees over here. Jerks. Pharisees over here. Right? Over to Jesus, right? In front of him is the disciples and everybody that believes in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied to the believers, the kingdom of God is not something that you'll be able to observe someday. It's not something that people will say, yo, here it is. Yo, there it is over there. No, because the kingdom of God is already in you. Another couple of translations say, among you. The kingdom of God is already among you. Another translation still says, the kingdom of God is around you. Why? Why the three? Why among you? Why around you? Why in you? Because the word that Jesus spoke on that day literally means in you, around you, and among you. Church, the kingdom of God is in we who believe. Church, the kingdom of God is around the believers. And the kingdom of God is among we who are believers. Because God has sealed his spirit inside each and every one of us when we accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord of our lives. You are a kingdom person. We are kingdom people. Come on, we are citizens of the kingdom of God. Not when we die, not when we get to heaven, but right now, we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Are you following me, church? Everywhere you go, you're not just a citizen of Iowa. You're not just a citizen of the United States. You're not just a citizen of Costa Rica. You're not just a citizen of Australia. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is in you, around you, and among you. Hallelujah. That's good news. Jesus said, I am in the Father.
Yes.
And the Father is in me. Amen. And I am in you. And you are in me. All that to say this, church, we right now are living in the kingdom of God. Yes. Come on, eternal life, praise God, has already begun.
Hallelujah.
Come on, this is where we will live forever in the kingdom of God. Jesus is the King and the King is in you, with you and all around you. Church, I am almost ready to conclude my introduction and start preaching a sermon. But I want to tell you that Scripture says that not only will he reign, but Scripture says that we too will reign with him. Yes. Because we're kingdom people. Hallelujah. We are not God. We are not God. We are not angels. We are not the Son of God, but we are sons and daughters of God. Not the Son, but a son and daughter of God. We are his children and co-heirs with Christ of the power and the authority of God. Woo! And that person is not meant to live bound up by sin and bound up by sickness and bound up by shame and bound up by drugs and alcohol and abuse. That person is not meant to live bound up by the struggles of this world. They are called to reign. We are called to reign. And that's a good word. Now I'm ready to preach, because we're done with the intro. So many of us, though, are walking around like Simba, running around in the wild looking for bugs to eat. Don't even know that we're supposed to reign. Not one day, but now. Some of us maybe knew that we were called, but because of our sin, maybe like Simba, because of our mistakes, because of the drama, the terrible things that we've done in our lives, the devil has made us forget who we are and forget the power that we carry. Listen to me, believers. You are not a beggar. You are not supposed to be living begging for slugs and scraps. Come on. You are not supposed to be begging for attention, begging to be noticed, begging for a healing, begging for something to move. No, you are not supposed to beg a mountain to move out of your way. Come on. You are not designed or called or meant to live in pain, in sickness, in trauma, in hurt, in constant drama, after drama, relationship breakdown, after breakdown, after breakdown. That's not what you're supposed to live in. Yeah, you may encounter that, but you will rise above it because you reign and you are an overcomer. Amen. You don't have to stay stuck where you are. You can get traction and have progress in your life. Amen. You don't have to sit back and keep taking hits like a slave everywhere you go, the world treating you like a slave. You will be hurt here. You will be broken here. You can't do that. You can't do that. You do this. Go over there. Do as you're... No, you weren't called to be a slave to the world. You were called to reign. Church, you might not even realize, but you have power over every negative thing in your life. Right now, you have power over every negative thing in your life. You have power over negative thoughts in your mind. Come on, Scripture says take every thought captive and line it up with the Word of God. Why? Because you have power over those thoughts. You have power over bitterness. You have power over your brokenness. You have power over the sin that you find yourself stuck in. You have power and authority right now, right now, right now. Somebody say right now. Come on, not in 20 years, not when you are perfect and holy by the world standards, but right now, because God in heaven says you are perfect and holy by His standard. So right now you have power and authority. You have been given authority and power to reign in this life. But how often still do we sit back and take the hits without living in the authority that we've been given? Let me clarify what I'm saying. How often do we go and ask God to take care of things that He's already given us the authority to take care of? See, I'm not saying we shouldn't pray. We have to pray. We must pray. Prayer is about having a relationship with God, knowing God, sharing with Him our deepest feelings, hurts, loves, and desires. I don't just go to my wife when I want something. Hey, baby, I've been taking Vicodin. Get me some food. No, come on. Like, that's not how marriage works. That's not how relationships work. I go to her and say, I love you. I go to her and hug her. I just want to spend time with her. Tell me about your day. Tell me your day. Here's how I feel. How do you feel? No, we have a relationship. Come on, with God, we don't just want to go to God and say, God, I want this. I want this. No, we go to God and we share our hurts. We share our desires. We share our heart. We talk about our day. We thank Him for His blessing. We thank Him for His presence in our life. We're asking Him for miracles. We're asking Him for things like a child would ask their parents with blind faith. We ask for the resources to live how He's called us to live. We ask for strength to endure. We ask Him for wisdom to make good decisions. Amen. But Well, then we need to live in that wisdom. Then we need to live in that resource. And we especially need to live in the authority that he has already given us. Church, I tell you, as I think back in my childhood, I used to love going to work with my dad. At one point, my dad was the GM, the general manager of a metal recycling plant, and I had a big shed building company, both at the same time. There were two divisions of the same company, and my dad was the boss. He wasn't the owner of the company, he was the boss. Hundreds of people worked there, he was the boss, right? Now, a lot of why I loved going to work for my dad was any time we went and worked for my dad, he'd give us a can of Coke. And I liked it. Because our mum never let us have soda, right? We had one tub of ice cream a month in our house. We got one scoop on one night of the week, right? We didn't have all that. It was just no desserts once a week, and sodas are never, right? She's probably watching this. She's going to stab my dad right now and blame him for all the times I was psycho at home, right? Because he gave me Coke, right? Like, we weren't allowed it. So I used to love going to work with my dad and get that can of Coke. I also, across the road was a milk bar. I think you call it a corner store or something like that. There was a milk bar across the road from his office, and they sold the best hot dogs in the Southern Hemisphere, okay? Like, they were amazing hot dogs. And so I'd always go over there and spend my dad's money and get that. But also, at the other end of the day, see, he didn't pay us for it. It was just expected. You are my son. You will work in a family, right? At the end of the day, I was allowed to drive the company utes around, right? Now, ute is Australian for truck, right? We had all these utes there, and I was allowed to drive them around the metal yard, and that was amazing, right? There was acre after acre after acre after acre of just piles of scrap metal with all these tracks running in between them, like around them, like mountains of metal. I loved it. I felt like I was Mad Max. Come on. It was amazing. One day, one of the workers comes up to me, a guy didn't know me, didn't know who I was, and he tried to tell me that, little dude, you are way too young to be driving these utes around here. I was probably 12 or 13, and that is pretty young because in Australia you don't get your license till you're 18, right? And that's why it freaks me out. Like, I couldn't drive till I was 18. No one in Australia, you're not driving till you're 18. Then I come over here and you've got like 14-year-olds in diapers driving around on the interstate, and I'm like, what is happening up in here? These little kids are going to get hurt, you know? And so this guy, he's like yelling at, you can't do that. And you know what I told him? I said, yeah, I can. My dad said I can. Well, little man, who's your dad? Oh, you know, just the king of this place. What was I doing? I was living in the authority that comes from being a child of my dad, aka the king of blue steel. I'm telling you right now, there are so many Christians that just sit back and stop enjoying their lives and stop living in the call of God on their lives and stop taking steps of faith because the devil whispered in their ear, you're too young, you're too old, you've made too many mistakes, you just did that yesterday, you're too ugly, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough. Come on, we got to stand up and tell him, yo, my dad said I can. Who's your dad? Oh, you know, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the High and Exalted One. Come on, the Creator of the universe said, I can drive this truck. I'm telling you, I'm fired up about this message. This message is a game changer for your life. Amen. Come on. But there's a whole nother level to this thing that I need you to see. Let's look at my dad. My dad didn't own the company. He was given the authority to run the company. And when he decided who has to work each day and who's going to be on each job, he didn't call up the owner and ask if that's okay. He told the people when they're working and what jobs they're doing. If he needed one of the workers to separate the plastics out of the metals, he didn't ring up the owner and say, yo, Bill, can you get Steve or Jillian to separate the metals from the plastics? No, he'd be like, dude, I'm paying you to do that. No, he used the authority that he has been given, and he told that worker, you go separate the plastics from the metal, and they did. And if they didn't, my dad sent them packing. because he's got the authority to do so. It is time as believers that we rise up and live in the authority that we have been given as co-heirs of Christ. Imagine one of my neighbors had a huge party at their house, right? Huge party on a weeknight, on a school night, when Judah and the kids are supposed to be sleeping. And at 2 a.m., we got Kanye West pounding our walls. Now, I'm not talking 2019, Jesus is King, Kanye West. I'm talking stuff I don't want my kids hearing at 2 a.m. in the morning. Come on, this is the pre-Jesus stuff, right? Can anyone else agree that, like, listening to Kanye West on shuffle right now is super bipolar and confusing? Right, Jesus is King, followed by a song titled Alien Sex, and you're like, what? What is happening here, right? Like, so confusing. I've just tried to, like, I've got to pick the songs now, make my own playlist instead of repeat Kanye, yeah? Can I get an amen? Yeah? Like, sorry, y'all, like, did he just say that? Yeah, he did. I'm sorry. I was listening to it the other day, and I'm like, man, I feel bipolar right now. This is confusing my spirit, right? Imagine this happening. My whole family is up. Everybody's like, what is going on in here? The walls are shaking, come on. And it ain't the Holy Ghost. So I say to my wife, baby, I got this. Kids, I got this. I'm gonna handle this. So I call my dad. Hey dad, how's Australia right now? He's like, son, it's good. Ain't it 2 a.m. where you're at? I'm like, yeah, got a problem. Dad, the neighbors are pounding Kanye into my walls right now. And daddy, it ain't that Jesus-loving Kanye stuff. My kids are hearing things that they ain't ever heard of before at 2 a.m. And daddy, can you call them up and tell them to shut up? Let them know they're annoying me. You know what my dad would be like? Well, probably just hang up. But if he was kind enough to stay on the phone, he'd be like, nah, son, I raised you better than that. Go tell them to pipe down yourself. Yeah. Like, how ridiculous would that be? Daddy, no. I need to go over there and tell them myself, turn that down, I'm opening up a can on you. How many things has God given us the authority to handle, but we keep still going to him and saying, God, can you do this? God, can you do that? God, can you do this? God, can you do that? And he's up there and he's like, bro, sis, handle your business. I've already given you the strength for this. I've already given you the power for this. I've already given you authority to reign over this. Man, it would be the worst. I love my staff and they don't do this and I thank God for that. But it would be the worst if I delegated some authority to my staff and still they come to me for every single thing they want to do. Pastor Jesse, can I go have lunch with so-and-so? I don't care. Have lunch with somebody. Take somebody from church out. Tell somebody you love them. Come on, right? I have given you the resources and the authority to handle this. Listen up to me, church. He has given you the authority to handle so much of what you're going through right now. And listen up. You got this. You can handle this. You are tougher than you know. You have more authority than you have realized. Many of you probably remember the scripture where Jesus said, truly I tell you that if you say to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and you do not doubt it in your heart, but believe that what you have said will happen, it will be done for you. Now, people always preach that in reference to faith, and that's super important because faith is the currency of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. But there's a really important thing to take notice of in this scripture, and it's that Jesus said, say to the mountain. He didn't say, truly, I tell you that if anyone goes to the Father and says, Father, could you please tell the mountain to get out of my way? It will be. He said, say to the mountain. Say to the mountain, know who you are. Operate in the authority that I have given you. And say to the mountain, mountain, get out of my way. God is saying, you don't have to come to me and ask me to move the mountain. You can say it to the mountain. So let me ask you this, church, what mountain do you want to move today? Maybe you need to stop asking God to move it and start operating in the authority that He's already given you and tell it to move. What about this? Maybe the reason that God hasn't answered your prayer yet is because He's trying to teach you that you already have the authority and the power to handle this.
Good, Jesse. Nice.
You got this. You got this. Come on, this is going to revolutionize the way that you live. Not just praying to the Father, but also living in the authority that He has given you as a son and a daughter and a co-heir with Christ. So I ask you again, church, what mountain do you not only want to move, but what mountain do you this week need to speak to and say, get out of my way, mountain? Come on, I got a friend who has had relationship failure after failure after failure after failure, and now he is in a relationship and he's asking God to bless this relationship, asking God for wisdom in the relationship. But when the doubt and the fear of failure comes, he's speaking to that mountain. He's speaking to that fear and saying, get off me in the name of Jesus Christ. Mountain, move. I have friends who have struggled with addiction for years, who are finally realizing that they need to speak to the mountain. Addiction, get off my life. God designed me for freedom, and it is for freedom that He set me free. He did not set me free to be bound up in the next drama. He set me free for freedom. Get off me. Is there sickness that you need to speak to? Well, Pastor Jess, you got any scripture to back up this idea that I can speak to the sickness? Well, I'm glad you asked, because, yeah, I got lots of them. I'm going to read one to you right now. I love when Peter and John went to pray, and they met that lame man on the way, and they said to the beggar, hey, bruv, because he was in London again, I have no silver or gold, but what I do have, I give to you in the name, come on, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. Get up and walk. Hey, sickness, get off him. Get up and walk in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Some of y'all need somebody else to stand with you and speak to your mountain. And someone say to your mountain for you and with you, get off him in Jesus' name. Is there sin in your life that you want to get off your life? You can win. You know that? You can win that battle. You can overcome the sin that you struggle with. You don't have to struggle forever. I promise you that. You can speak to the mountain to get off me in Jesus' name. And every time that it rears its ugly head to try and snare you, get away from me in Jesus' name. I've done this. This is how I have found freedom from so much sin and so much drama and so much struggle in my life. Get off me, mountain. Get away. Move out of the way in Jesus' name. Maybe you've got a mountain named depression. You don't have to live by that mountain forever. Yes, see a therapist. Yes. Yes, take the pills that they tell you to take. Yes. But start declaring the coming victory and tell that depression, you're going to get off me in Jesus' name. Come on. Get off me. Get off me. Get off me in Jesus' name. And when you pray, you're going to thank God for the victory. You're going to thank God that He's given you power and authority over that. You're going to thank God that you will be whole and strong and well and clear-minded. Come on, this will revolutionize your faith, church. Would you stand up and give the one who gave you the authority a shout of praise in this place? Would you stand up and thank Him? Would you stand up and praise Him? Would you stand up and make some noise for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who has said that you have the authority and the power and the might and the strength to move those mountains? Hallelujah. I want you to walk out of this room today with your mind changed and your eyes unveiled, realizing you have power. You are not the tail, you are not underfoot, you are not the slave, you are not the broken, you are not the weary, you are the head. You reign. You're a co-heir with Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a good word for you. This should change the way you walk out. This should change the way you walk into drama. This should change the way you walk into a difficulty. This should change the way you walk into the doctor's office. This should change the way you walk in to see the principal when your kids have a bad. This will change everything. I can't picture Queen Elizabeth, who I have to admit is still my queen, all right? Because I'm Australian and she owns Australia. Some of you didn't know that, but she does. My passport says in it, from the Queen, a little note to you, by the way, to anyone I hand it to, it says, please grant free passage and provide all the resources that he needs to make his journey from Queen Elizabeth. So if I give that to you, you have to give me stuff. Because Lizzie said so. Now, if Queen Elizabeth walks out of Buckingham Palace or goes for a drive, she rolls up to Downing Street or she rolls up anywhere in London, right? She doesn't get out of the car like this. You know, worried, fearful. Where are they? Who's there? What are they going to do? What's the... No. She walks out like this. Get me a drink. Get me a hot dog from that place in Australia and make sure it's warm when you get here. Come on. She walks around with authority. If someone comes to her and they've got bad news, she's not like, oh no, what will we do? She'd be like, fix it. Fix it. Come on, fix it. So she finds out someone wants to bomb London, she's like, shoot them down. Shoot their planes out of the sky right now. Come on, get rid of them. Come on. She's got power. She's got authority. She knows that she reigns in London. She knows that she reigns in England. She knows that she reigns in Britain. She knows that she reigns in Ireland. She knows that she reigns. Come on. She knows that she reigns in Australia. She knows she reigns just a couple of hours north of here in Canada. Come on. She knows. She has power. She has authority in church. Everywhere that you go, you are in the kingdom of God. It is around you and it is in you and you are in it and you reign. So everywhere you go, you need to hold your head up high. Stop acting like a slave. Stop acting like the bottom. Stop acting like the dirt. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High God, and you carry authority and you carry power, and you need to start speaking to the mountain, get out of my way, because I am a son of the King of Kings. Hallelujah. There are people in this room, maybe it's your first time at Eternity Church, and you're like, oh, preachers are more hypo than I thought. I can own that. But you're also in here and you're also realizing, man, I didn't know that God did this much for me. And he did do that much for you. 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 He loves you. He adores you. Before time began, whether you believe that it was 7 billion years ago, 7 million years ago, or 7,000 years ago, I really don't care. All I know is that God is big and he went bang and there everything was, right? That's the big bang, yeah, right? Anyway, think about that. So I don't care how long ago you believe this happened. But what I do know is that when God said, let us create mankind in our image, that at that very moment he thought of you, scripture tells us that when he thought of you, he had plans for you. Plans to bless you, plans to give you a future full of hope, plan to make you an overcomer, one who reigns above the gear going on in the world. In fact, I think God knew that at some point people were going to lie about him and start saying that he's mean and has a magnifying glass, right? And just burning people on a hill, you know? Like, I think God knew that people were going to say that. So he clarified in scripture, when he talked about the plans to bless you, he specifically said the words, and my plans are not to harm you. Because he knew people would think differently. His plans are to bless you. Here's the thing though, until we give our life to Jesus Christ and accept him as the one who reigns above us, then we don't live in that life that he planned for us. That good life, that blessed life, that free life. So what we need to do is we need to give him our lives. And scripture says that if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that we'll start living that life. It doesn't say that if you stop sinning, be perfect, never say anything bad, never think anything bad ever again, and be like Ned Flanders, you know, like then you'll be saved. No, it just says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that you'll be saved and he will bless your life. That's it. If there is something in your life that's troubling you or troubling God or troubling others, then when your heart is ready and when your spirit is strong enough, he will give you, he will speak to you about that, and he'll give you the strength to have a victory in that area of your life. But it's not our job to try and fix people. It's not our job to try and change you. We just want you to invite Jesus Christ into your life. And then as the scripture said, I'll be in you, you'll be in me. Scripture, Jesus will be in you and you'll be in Jesus. And you will be saved and you will have the authority and the power to live the life that God designed for you. So what I want you to do is pray a prayer with me right now. Believe it in your heart and confess with your mouth. I want every person in this room that doesn't know Jesus and every person that's walked away from Jesus to pray this prayer with me and to pray this prayer with everyone else in the room. We're all gonna pray it, so none of you will be praying it alone. Hundreds of people praying it together. Hundreds of people already have. This is our fourth service this weekend, and this room full of people, everyone has prayed this prayer. Right now, we're just inviting you to declare it and pray it with us. Give your life to Jesus Christ and start living in the blessing of God that he planned for you. Amen. So everyone in the room, in a bold voice, repeat after me. Dear God, I believe Jesus Christ is your son. I believe he died on a cross for my sin, and he rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, blessing, and eternal life. I receive it all, and I receive forgiveness. I receive this new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. Please help me to live it the way you designed it. Extra special, extra blessed, and extra unique just for me. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer, you are now a son or a daughter of the Most High God, and he is in you and you are in him. Welcome to the kingdom of God. You are blessed. Praise God. If you prayed that prayer, there's two things we want you to do. Two things. The first one is I want you to text the word saved to the number 25827. It's up here on the screen. It'll be on our social media after church as well, if you forget. Text the word saved to the number 25827. Then we can pray for you a bit more specifically, but also so we can send you a gift in the mail. We're going to send you a Bible. We're going to send you some worship. We're going to send you a gift card to a local coffee shop because caffeine also enriches your faith. And so we're going to send you all those in the mail this week. And the second thing that I want you to do is I want you to lift up your hand when I count to three so I can pray for you. I'm not going to tell anyone who you are. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to say, oh, the gal wearing the Love Your Life shirt. No, I'm just going to pray for you where you are. I'm not going to come down there or make you come down here. So if everyone in the room could close their eyes and bow their heads, every single person, close your eyes, bow your heads. Give people the privacy that they deserve while they make the greatest and most wonderful decision of their lives. If you prayed this prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time, you're giving your life to Jesus Christ today and you want me to pray for a blessing on your life. While no one's looking around, on the count of three, I want you to lift up your hand. One, two, three. All over this place. I see hands all over this place. Hallelujah. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? 11, God bless you. 12, God bless you. Is there anybody else? 13, God bless you. You can put your hands down right now. Oh, 14, God bless you. Put your hands down, praise God. Church, let's all pray for those 14 people right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you trust Eternity Church to be a welcoming place for people to meet you. and to discover your wonder and goodness available to their lives. God, I pray for them right now that all the shame and all the pain of their past mistakes and hurts and fears and bitterness, I pray for freedom from that. I pray it breaks off their lives. God, and where it was, I pray that hope and joy and peace and the glory of God would fill that hole right now in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I pray that where they stand right now, that your Spirit would come upon them and fill them with new joy, new peace. God, that they would leave this place today with a spring in their step, a pep in their step, understanding that I now reign, that I have authority, that I have power, that I am not a subject of the world, but that I have authority and I can live a blessed life in Jesus' name. God, bless them right now. Amen. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Man, 14 more people. I think it's over 30 people that have given their lives to Jesus Christ at Eternity Church this weekend. Praise God. 52 last week. I think we're over 1,100 people meeting Jesus at Eternity this year. Isn't that awesome? Isn't God good? Praise God. Praise God. Imagine if believers come to church every week instead of one in every two or three. Anyway, there. We need to build a new building, wouldn't we, to make up for all this? I'm sorry, I love you and I'm glad you're here. But it really is actually, honestly, my hope that the culture in this church would be so wonderful that you want to be here every chance you can get. If you gave your life to Jesus Christ today, let me encourage you. Be in church every chance you can get. Just get revitalized and revived in your faith, amen. It'll bless you. It'll bless you every week. Just it'll bless you. In a moment, we're going to open up the front for prayer. And maybe you're like the lame man that Peter and John met on the way to the temple. And maybe you just feeling like, man, I got faith, but I need to borrow some of their faith. You know what? Come and borrow our faith. We've got so much faith. You can borrow ours. We'll still have enough left for everybody else, all right? Maybe you need someone to speak to your mountain like Peter and John did. Get up and walk. Come on, right? Maybe you need that. I got a team of prayer warriors waiting to speak to your mountain with you. They will stand with you as we both declare a victory and a healing and a breakthrough in your life. Amen. So come down the front in just a moment. Before we do that, we're going to take up today's tithes and offerings. And let me encourage you to be generous there. You can give online at myeternity.com or you can give cash or checks in the bucket when they come by in a minute. Let me encourage you, the second that bucket goes past you, the second it goes past, if you need prayer, run down the front and get prayer. Come on, run down for prayer. Don't be the person that holds back wanting a miracle when the authority is in the room today to give you a miracle today. Amen. So God bless you.
Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed this, share it with your friends or neighbors. This coming weekend or next, we'd love to see you at church. You'll find locations and service times at myeternity.com/locations. We're also on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. Have an awesome day. Love you heaps.